as it is so long, there seems to be a great gap between the initial idea and the explanation.
There's an atmosphere of racial tension, which I think is truthful to London at the moment. Right from the beginning, the Clash is the first, is really the punk reggae songwriters, the people who first did it, who first picked up from reggae. And if you're hearing reggae songs like Police and Thieves or their own, like Safe European Home, which is fantastic in the film, one of the climaxes, you hear the music, you see the walls covered with racist slogans, you hear the National Front. Finally, you start to see what they're really talking about later on in the film. This is how the meaning of the film comes out.
In the end, what has happened to Ray Gange out of all this? I mean, you say he's now living in Los Angeles. Have you changed him completely, do you think?
No, I don't think we changed him one bit. What happened was that towards the end of the filming, he suddenly gave us a deadline. He said, I just can't stand this place anymore. I'm getting out. I'm going to Los Angeles with one of my mates. You know, I'm flying Freddie Laker. So he gave us a deadline, and we worked our asses off to meet that deadline, to finish his scenes. And then the morning after, off he went to Los Angeles. And he met a girl there, married, and eventually got himself a green card so he could work. And he's now working, he's putting up buildings, office blocks.
It sounds, though, as though the film did change him in quite a large extent then, because he was kind of just living a street life. He and had he's now gone off and done all those respectable things.
He had this in mind all the time. He could not stand it in London. He could see no ambition of his could ever be fulfilled. He could never get out of what he was doing, which was basically being on the dole or occasionally working in a sex shop. He could see no way out. And I think it's the same for millions of kids in London today, or hundreds of thousands, shall I say.
But when people slag them off for being layabouts, all this, that and the other, or street kids, they're only looking for a job. And I'm sure most of them find one, and especially when they find a wife.
What do you two hope people will get out of this film in the end? Anything, or is it just a reflection of a state of Britain that you see through the lens of a camera?
It's a difficult question to ask and to answer, rather. But what I'd like them to, I would like them to get huge enjoyment out of it. That's what I would like. Maybe David would like something else from it. I don't know.
No, I've noticed that people do. The audience is sitting there gazing in amazement.
It's a very glamorous picture. I think somebody should say that, even if I have to say it myself.
Well, certainly those people who go to see the film because they're going to focus on the Clash, because the Clash is something of a hero or heroes to them, are going to get that sort of glamour out of the film. But I just wondered if there was also some other kind of feeling you'd like people to go away from the cinema with, about the lives that they're leading and about the possibilities, if there are any in the film, that you can leave them with, of changing those lives.
Well, we're not missionaries as such. We can't change things. We can only show what we see and do it in as truthful a way as possible, and that we've done. And we've shown all these kids who are unemployed, great armies of them, and they go to the concerts of the Clash and derive huge enjoyment. And that's what we've shown.
Do you think, though, that Britain has changed in the time that this film was made and the period it was made about, which was really Jubilee Year, wasn't it?
It was made between Jubilee Year and last year, with the advent of the new government. I don't know, do you think it's changed, David?
I mean, if you went out today, would you make the same kind of film, do you think?
I don't know. All I know is that when Ray came back from... He came back to see the film, because he'd never seen it. And so he saw England again after a year. And he said to me just before he left last Saturday, he said, there's only 4 years left. So yeah, obviously he thinks it's getting worse.
You couldn't possibly make a film like this without including music. It would be crazy. I mean, because the music means so much to these kids. The film is about these kids who have virtually nothing, and there's no promise for them or anything like that in life by anybody. The only pleasures they get, real pleasures they get, are going to see their heroes, if you wish, up on stage in concert halls. You know, such as the Clash. Well, we did start off by shooting the things on the streets, because it is very much a street film, we think. And we started back in 1977, shooting Jubilee. I mean, everything was happening in 77. This punk thing had suddenly happened and exploded. There was the music. Suddenly these kids were looking very odd. You know, coloured hair, safety pins, all that. Remember all that? And... seems like years ago, and they were listening to music in these sweaty clubs around Wardour Street, where the singers would sing with English accents. Weird. I mean, we hadn't had that. You know, we had the Beatles whenever they sang with American accents. And this is the first time that we felt that English youth was actually expressing itself in a genuine manner without trying to ape their cousins across the waters in America. So we were filming all these street happenings, National Front demonstrations, punch-ups, that sort of thing. We weren't sure where we were going. We knew we wanted music, and we were trying to get Ray at that time. It took us about 6 months to get Ray. He's like one of those old-fashioned novels, you know, the first type of novel, I forgot what you call it, where the guy, like Don Quixote, if you wish, where the guy sort of leads you into a situation and then becomes a fall guy himself, you know? And that's what Ray is, you know. He's well-intentioned, and he stumbles, and he fumbles, and he falls, and then he picks himself up again and carries you on into another situation.
Ray, the picaresque hero, is trying to get a job with The Clash as a roadie, but instead he's given a political lesson by the band's singer, Joe Strummer.
I don't know. I don't think The Clash should be political, you know? It's like, I don't know, most left-wing politics. They're like, I don't know, real hypocrisy. It's like the Socialist Workers' Party. Like, they say, like, left-wing is the truth. Like, follow the left-wing politics. But, like, I don't know, left-wing is going to fuck everybody up, you know, especially socialist ways, like, all communist-backed, like all the others are.
I know how you feel, like, because in Russia, it's just a new... It's just exactly the same as it was before they had the revolution. Just a new load of people driving around in the black cars, and all the other people walking, just the same as before. I mean, I know what you mean, but...
That's what it is here, isn't it?
But why I think the left-wing is better than the right-wing is because it, at least it's kind of... It's not just for the few. There's the many slaving for the few.
Yeah, but I know, like, my idea is to, like, make sure that I become one of the few, you know?
What's the point of being one of the few?
Yeah, at the moment there ain't, but, like, what happens when we all become so-called equal, right? And someone's got to control it. Then the people that control it, then they're, as you said before, like, some people are going to be riding around in the black cars. So all I want to do is make sure that I'm riding around and not fucking walking. Yeah, like, when I read about the Socialist Workers' Party, it, like, makes me more convinced that I'm a, like, capitalist, and, like, I want to have a lot of money, and I want to have, like, a Rolls-Royce Camargue, and a country mansion, and, like, a house in Beverly Hills and everything, you know? Like, servants running around and doing what I want.
I've just thought about it a lot, and I just think there's nothing there. You can get all the Rolls-Royces, all the dough, all the country houses, all the servants you want. I just think there's nothing at the end of that road.
We didn't really know what the narrative would be. We didn't know what the storyline would be. That evolved. And once we had Ray, we sort of knew where we were going. But, I mean, it would constantly change. And we never really knew if we'd ever finish the film. There was never any guarantee. But, I mean, that's the way we were. Just as in The Bigger Splash, we never really knew if we'd finish. But... It's a process of evolution. I mean, it was constantly changing, and The Clash would turn to us and say, "Well, what's it all about then? What's the story really about?" And when we'd say, "Well, we don't really know. We're not really sure yet. I mean, it's just forming itself. It's structuring itself, and we're trying to structure it. We're trying to hold on to it." And I don't think they really believed us. They thought, you know, we had something over them. We didn't.